although they were the wives of the denizens of the higher planetary system, and Prithu Maharaj was an inhabitant of an inferior planetary system, the Earth, the king, along with his wife, passed beyond the realms of the demigods and went upward to Vaikuntha Loka. The word urdhavam, upward, is significant here, for the ladies speaking were from the higher planetary systems, which include the moon, sun and Venus, up to Brahma Loka, or the highest planet. Beyond Brahma Loka is a spiritual sky, and in that spiritual sky there are innumerable Vaikuntha Lokas. Thus the word urdhvam indicates that the Vaikuntha planets are beyond or above these material planets, and it was to these Vaikuntha planets that Prithu Maharaj and his wife were going. This also indicates that when Prithu Maharaj and his wife Archi abandoned their material bodies in the material fire, they immediately developed their spiritual bodies and entered into spiritual planes, which could penetrate the material elements and reach the spiritual sky. Since they were carried by two separate airplanes, it may be concluded that even after being burned in the funeral pyre, they remained separate individual persons. In other words, they never lost their identity or became void as imagined by the impersonalist. The ladies in the higher planetary systems were capable of seeing both downward and upward. When they looked down, they could see that the body of Prithu Maharaj was being burned and that his wife Archi was entering into the fire. And when they looked upward, they could see how they were being carried in two airplanes to the Vaikuntha Lokas. All of this is possible simply by durvibhavena karmana, inconceivable activity. Prithu Maharaj was a pure devotee, and his wife Queen Archi simply followed her husband. Thus they can both be considered pure devotees, and thus they are capable of performing inconceivable activities. Such activities are not possible for ordinary men. Indeed, ordinary men cannot even take to the devotional service of the Lord, nor can ordinary women maintain such high vows of chastity and follow their husbands in all respects. A woman does not need to attain high qualifications, but if she simply follows in the footsteps of her husband, who must be a devotee, then both husband and wife attain liberation and are promoted to the Vaikuntha Lokas. This is evinced by the inconceivable activities of Maharaj Prithu and his wife. Om Agyanti Mirandrasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 23, Verse Number 26, Translation. The wives of the demigods continued, "Just see how this chaste lady Archi, by dint of her inconceivable pious activities, is still following her husband upward as far as we can see." Hare Krishna. So we are reading a very auspicious event. Generally, people consider death as inauspicious, and that is why They don't want to talk about death. If there's a death in the family, they want the children to be away. Bacha dar jayega. He will be afraid. Or there's death on the road, immediately the police and government will arrange everything to be cleaned, dead body to be washed, dead body to be taken away, road to be washed, so that there are no blood marks, there is no smell of death. But in the case of pure devotees, death is not inauspicious. Death is auspicious. Because the soul, after leaving the body, is going back to Krishna. Going back home, back to Godhead. To engage in eternal, transcendental loving service of the Lord. So how that can be inauspicious? It is like somebody going to Vrindavan. So he will be very happy. Going for vacation. Going for yatra. So he will not tell his friend, I am leaving Bombay. He will say, I am going to Vrindavan. Right? When he is coming back from Vrindavan, he will say, I am leaving Vrindavan. Because he is very eager to go to yatra. And he wants to come back. It is so nice there. Less service. More parikramas. So he says, I am going to Vrindavan. He will not say, oh, I am leaving Bombay. In the same way, leaving body and taking another body, that is no meaning. But leaving the body and going back home, going to Golok Vrindavan, that is very auspicious. So here, Puthu Maharaj, by the dint of his mystic power, he, by his own free will, left his body. He transferred his soul back to the spiritual planets. While leaving his body, he didn't think, what will happen to my wife? Even though the husband is supposed to maintain his wife, that is his primary duty, but when death occurs, everybody gets his destination according to his own karma. So while living, he is not thinking, what will happen to my wife? Where will she go? Because he knows, being a chaste lady, Queen Arshi, she will also get a nice destination. So after he leaves his body, Mother Arshi, his wife, his queen, who is so chaste, who has followed the footsteps of her husband whole life, in this case also, she follows the footsteps of her husband by voluntarily accepting death, or sati. She voluntarily enters into the funeral pyre of her husband. And as a result, not only Prithu Maharaj, but Archi also goes back to the spiritual world. Prithu Maharaj is glorified because he performs so many inconceivable activities. A real leader, a strong first-class king, protector of the Mother Earth and the citizens, and he got all the resources from Mother Earth. He led a life of exemplary devotee, taught his subjects, so many things he did, and we read it in so many chapters. Such a great personality. But Mother Archi, what did she do to achieve such a great destination? To go back to the kingdom of God. The only thing she did is, she was a chaste wife and follower of her great husband. Just by being chaste, just by being honest, loyal, submissive, obedient and serving her husband, she achieved the same destination. And that is what is glorified. It is very important that a young girl in the family is taught all this. That is the meaning of education. The boys, they go to Gurukul and they get education according to their psychology. If somebody is a Brahmana, he'll get Brahminical education, how to perform yajnas, how to do puja, making charity, giving charity, learning and teaching Vedas, etc. If he is a Kshatriya, then he will be given education of using weapons, protecting subjects, handling enemies, and so many other things. A Vaishya learns from his father how to protect cows, how to protect other animals, how to take care of the land and the field and banking. And a Shudra, no education, he just has to serve the higher classes, menial servant, obedient person. So that is how different boys in their early childhood, they are trained. What about girls? They don't go to Gurukul. They are trained by their mother in the house. They are trained, the first thing is to be chaste. Chaste means honestly loving only their husband, not getting attracted to any other male outside marriage, irrespective of the qualities of the husband, irrespective of the bodily features of the husband, irrespective of the bank balance of the husband, irrespective of anything or the character of the husband. That is one very important quality which makes that woman great. Other thing which a girl should learn is cooking. Cooking in the house, cleaning the house, and taking care of deities, caring husband, caring children, caring other relatives and in-laws in the house, caring for guests who come to the house, and caring of the house itself. So these are four most important things a young girl is taught by her mother in the house itself. Four C's: chastity, cooking, cleanliness, and caring. Four C's. But nowadays there are other C's. So if that is there, if that is not there, then what we have is a population in which women are not chaste, they cannot satisfy their husband, they themselves are not satisfied, and then it becomes a very big chaos in the society, restlessness in the house, quarrels in the house, peace is disturbed, the man is disturbed, the children are disturbed, and the future of the society is very bad. And that is what we see now. I remember, this is my personal experience, my first visit to ISKCON Juhu. I came from IIT Powai and got down at Juhu Circle. Asking, I came to this temple. I coming from a village, so the first time I saw Bombay city. So I got three shocks of my life when I visited ISKCON Juhu. Three shocks. The first shock of my life I got when at Juhu Circle, in the traffic, I saw a car with a female driver. I saw a lady driving car, which I had never seen. I'm not saying it is wrong, and that was a shock for my life. When I continued walking, the second shock I saw is near the petrol pump. Very clearly I remember. I saw a girl smoking cigarette. I never seen that. And this is definitely wrong. You can imagine when a car driver is lady and I'm getting shocked, then cigarette is too much. And the third shock I got when I entered the temple room. I saw a foreign lady in sari with covered head. So that was a shock for me. So Indian girls, they are smoking cigarettes, and foreign ladies, they are wearing saris. That is what Srila Prabhupada introduced, and that is so great. My first visit to this temple, I even saw darshan of Radharas Bihari, but I don't remember the dress 10 years before. But these three shocks I remember, because they transformed me. The culture in Indian, present Indians, is so degraded. But Srila Prabhupada introduced it so purely, and that is still attracting so many people. So the dress code, the behavior, the etiquette of the devotees is not just external. It is very important, because that is how new people see us. New people don't interact, don't know our character, what is inside, but they see outside. So we should follow what Prabhupada has said. Proper dhoti kurta or saris, proper tilak, shaved head. This is preaching movement. And it is very important that we represent the parampara as we are supposed to, as is our duty. So when in the society, women are chaste, women are in the house cooking, cleaning, taking care of deities and children, then men are very peaceful. They are peaceful at the house. So even if they work hard outside, but they know when I go to house, I will be peaceful. And that is how encourages them to continue their work. If there is no peace in the house, then he will not like to come back to the house, because he doesn't know what to do. Office mein boss, ghar mein biwi, where will he go? So then he will go to hotels, he will go to beer bars, drinking alcohol, or go to prostitutes, and he becomes sinful. The very purpose of marriage or any ashram is to make sure the person is protected from sinful activities. It is very natural for a male to get attracted to multiple females. And if he pursues that attraction, then he will commit a sinful activity. And he will go to hell. That is illicit sex. And Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, who is our greatest enemy? Lust. Very powerful. So for a person who has that lust, he will end up committing sinful activities. To protect him from committing a sinful activity, there is a provision of marriage. So when he marries and takes responsibility of his wife, then that loving relationship decreases his attraction to other females. And he is saved from sinful activities. And when he unites with his wife, that is dharma. There are rules for that. But that is considered dharma. That is considered religion. That is not considered sinful. So she is the one who protects him from lust, from greatest enemy. So she is the best friend. Somebody who protects you from worst enemy is supposed to be your best friend. And then seeing that protection, being sinless, he can very easily take responsibility of his family, and that is how he can happily survive. That system is there. But if wife fails to protect the husband, then the purpose of marriage is lost. And the husband is still full of lust, he still commits sinful activities, neither he will be happy nor she will be happy. So the conduct of wife is to ensure that protection. Question is, when there are fights or quarrels, question is not who is right and who is wrong. The question is how to peacefully coexist so that nobody commits a sinful activity. Proving somebody right and wrong and consequencing into a sinful activity or breaking relationships, like nowadays they take divorce, will not work. When they take divorce, both of them commit a sinful activity. And we know the end result. The children are unhappy, the couple are unhappy, the relatives are unhappy, whole life they have that trauma, and very difficult to overcome. They cannot peacefully exist. So it is important that both are qualified. A wife who wants to be chaste and obedient cannot be blamed if the husband is not a proper devotee, because then she fails to be submissive. So it is important that this education is given to both the classes. But a husband should be a nice devotee, properly following the orders of Guru, serving Vaishnavas, keeping friendly relations with everybody, and maintaining his family according to religious principles. And such a chaste lady, when she follows such a nice husband, automatically she gets spiritual benefit. Mother Devuti, she was very nicely serving her husband Kardama Muni, without taking care of her own body. And when Kardama Muni broke his meditation, automatically he gave her spiritual advancement. She didn't have to do anything, but just take care of her husband. So husband chants 16 rounds, 8 rounds she gets, without doing a round. That time husband gets only 8 rounds. Husband gets full 16 rounds. That is the nature of this bhakti. The wife automatically gets spiritual benefit of husband's sadhana when she helps him, when she protects him from sinful activities. Every ashram, the rules of the ashrams are made in such a way that the practitioner is protected from sinful activities. But if we end up following the ashram in a way that we commit sinful activities, then you have to understand something major has gone wrong. Because the more a person commits sinful activities, the more he gets entangled. And the purpose of Varnashram is to get liberated, not entangled. So it's important that such an education is given. The education of technical matters or corporate managerial matters or secretarial practice or accounts is not important. That has created so much chaos in this world. So this education, which is a girl given in the house to be able to do all this, is what is very important, is what should be encouraged, is what should be propagated, is what should be practiced. And then we can expect good children out of these families who can contribute something great to the society. If good children are not born, how much you train, it is very difficult. If good children are born, then they will automatically become devotees. We will not even require IVF. Already devotees. Because childhood their parents are devotees. Now we have to put so much effort in students, teach them Krishna consciousness, because from childhood they have damage their consciousness. Nothing against IVF. So children are already becoming devotees by parents, then they grow up and already they are ready. They are ready to practice brahmacharya, or they are ready to be responsible householders, contributing so much great to the society. So from the life of Mother Archi, we learn so much. And we see the wives of the demigods, they are glorifying Mother Archi. When she is leaving her body and going back to Godhead. Now in general, I am not talking about all, but in general it is said that woman is envious of other woman. Little natural propensity. Seeing other beautiful lady or opulent ornaments or success or happy family, there is that tendency. But here we see the wives of demigods are not having this. Like we have this, we used to have this ad. I used to watch in the childhood. Uski saadi mere saadi se safed kaise hai. Some soap, washing soap ad. So that is envy. This pure envy. She has a white saadi and why I don't have? And no, why she has better? So, the wives of the demigods, they are not envying Mother Archi, even though she is getting a higher position, though she started from a lower position. She is in earth planet, demigods' wives are on higher planetary systems, but Mother Archi from the inferior planet is directly transferring herself to spiritual world, which is higher and beyond the demigod wife's residence, beyond the Swargaloka. Beyond the Brahma Loka. So they are feeling so encouraged. They are feeling so happy. That is the nature of pure devotional service. Pure devotional service eradicates lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, pride from the hearts of the practitioner as well as from the hearts of every living entity who comes in contact with that process. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was passing through Jharkhand forest, then all the animals, they forgot their nature, they forgot their instincts. The tiger became non-violent, the snake became non-envious, and they were dancing and chanting Hare Krishna. That is the influence of Lord Sri Krishna, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the influence of holy name. That is the influence of presence of pure devotee. So at least in humans it should happen when we practice. So eradication of envy, lust, anger in the society is only possible by the Sankirtan. No other method will work. If you have more and more police force, terrorism is not going to stop. If you have more and more national security guards, Mumbai is not going to be threat free. If you have more and more automatic weapons, you are not going to have safer life. If you have more and more ethics taught in so-called ethical courses, it's not going to work. But if you propagate Krishna consciousness, propagate the chanting of holy names of Krishna, and people chant Krishna's name, then their heart is going to be purified. And when the heart is purified, when the lust, anger, envy is eradicated, greed is eradicated, pride is eradicated, then people will behave nicely. Otherwise these impurities are going to be there and create criminals, thieves, rogues, rapes, murderers, all this thing is going to happen. So seeing such a great destination of Mother Archi, the wives of the demigods were glorifying. They saw two airplanes going, already went. One with Prithu Maharaj, one in which Prithu Maharaj was occupying, and other Mother Archi. This shows that after death or after leaving the body, the soul does not merge. There is still individuality. There is still separate identity. Not just like impersonalist thing that as soon as the soul leaves the body, he merges into Brahma Jyoti, all souls merge into Brahma Jyoti, all is one. No, there are two. That's why there are two airplanes. two separate airplanes. Prithu Maharaj and Mother Archi, both are going back to spiritual world. So this conception of impersonalism, that the Lord is impersonal, the soul is impersonal, and that impersonal living entity, after leaving his body, merges into Brahma Jyoti, or the light rays of Lord's body, is not complete. It is partial truth. The complete understanding is that Lord is a person. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidanand Vigraha. He has a form, a very beautiful form, full of Sat Chit Anand. He has a shape, akar. He has gun, qualities. He has names. He has relationships. And he has his pastimes. That all we can see and hear in Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is the complete understanding of Absolute Truth. He is not just impersonal, Brahma. He is not just localized Paramatma. But in ultimate sense, he is Bhagwan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, having a two-handed, beautiful Shyam Sundar form, residing with his loving devotees in Golok Vrindavan, with Srimati Radharani, with other gopis and cowherd boys, with cows and peacocks, with Yamuna waters and Govardhan hill, with trees and plants and dust of Vrindavan, with peacock feather and flute in his hand. That is the ultimate understanding of Absolute Truth. And that is the ultimate destination of a living entity practicing his life, practicing spiritual life, and at the end transferring himself by the mercy of the Lord to that spiritual abode where one can be eternally, transcendentally engaged in loving service of the Lord. That is what Prithu Maharaj taught through his life by doing his kingly duties perfectly, by renouncing properly, and at the end, by leaving his body, by thinking of Krishna. And Queen Archi taught us by just following her husband. When a chaste lady follows her husband in this life, a devotee husband, then automatically she follows the same husband in Vaikunth Loka, till Vaikunth Loka. Automatically, by the dint of spiritual advancement of the husband, the wife also gets spiritual benefit, and she also surpasses the material modes of nature, and in a spiritual body enter Vaikunth Loka. It is also mentioned that the airplanes which were going, carrying Prithu Maharaj and Mother Archi, they were spiritual airplanes, and both of them were in spiritual bodies, and below, the two bodies which they left were burning, and they were material bodies. Now it may seem that why Prithu Maharaj, who is Aktyavesh Avatar, will accept a material body? A pure devotee will have a spiritual body. Why will accept a material body? Even the Acharyas, when they come in a body which has symptoms of material in nature, getting old, getting weak, getting disease. So we have to understand, this is a temporary covering they accept for the service of preaching, for the service of fulfilling their mission in this material world. They are not under material modes. In that sense, they don't have material body. The body they have is called temporary body, or preaching body, prachar sharir. And because it is temporary, that's why it's called material. Material means two things, one made of matter and one which is temporary. So because it is temporary, that's why it is called material. But actually it is spiritual. Anything utilized in Krishna's service is not matter, it is spiritual. And in ultimate sense, there is nothing matter. Everything is spiritual. It depends on the user. If he sees an object, a sense object, his own sense object, then that object is matter. But if he sees that object as service object, using Krishna's service, then that is a spiritual object. Just like we have aarti plate. Spiritual, because using Krishna's service. Or a flower garland offered to Krishna. Spiritual, because using, or Mahaprasad. This is spiritual. because it's used in Krishna's service. It is being enjoyed by Krishna. So this mention that Prithu Maharaj and Mother Archi left their material body means that what they had is a temporary body, which was service body, preaching body, which they came down and accepted temporarily for the purpose of prachar. And when they enter Vaikuntha, they enter into spiritual body. That is how they can enter Vaikuntha. Matter cannot enter Vaikuntha. In between the material and the spiritual world, there are coverings of various material elements. And one cannot penetrate these coverings with material body. In fact, even if one goes on a spaceship with a speed of mind, he will not be able to reach the boundary of material universe. Because with matter, we cannot enter spiritual world. We will always remain in material universe with the help of matter. So we have to leave this material body. We have to come out of material modes. We have to come out of this material, gross and subtle body. And then that free spiritual part who has developed spiritual body by the mercy of the Lord can enter the spiritual world. Not a element or a drop or a grain of matter enters the spiritual world. There everything is Satchit Ananda. So the purpose of the body in this human form of life is just to be a vehicle to drop us to spiritual world, to drop us to a plane for spiritual world. We have to eventually leave this body. So one should not be attached to the body in a way that body is source of sense gratification. We maintain this body so that this body can be used in Krishna's service. We clean the body. We eat sufficiently for the body. We take rest. We wear clothes. Whatever we do is not for making sense enjoyment, but just that the soul is inside the body and this human body can be used very nicely to serve Krishna. So that is what the purpose of maintenance is. So when one follows such great personalities and when one understands the reason for their success and when one gets inspired to practice the same life, just like Prithu Maharaj practice or Mother Archi practice, so that inspiration, that knowledge drives us, keeps us enthused so that we can continue our sadhana bhakti. In our devotional service, there will be so many ups and downs. Sometimes there will be doubts, or did I took a proper path? Sometimes there will be attractions, that should I leave this? So many things. But we should always come back to the source of our inspiration, read such katha, hear such katha, discuss with devotees, and take guidance from other devotees, so that this inspiration is always there. So even if doubts are there, like Arjuna had doubts, he was in the battlefield, but he had a doubt whether to fight or not. So he didn't decide, he went to Krishna, seeked his guidance, and Krishna helped him to decide. So in the same way, doubts can be there, but then we should take help, so that we are situated on proper dharmic path, following Krishna consciousness without deviation. Because even a very minor deviation can take us away from Krishna. Like just imagine there is a straight line and you are walking on that line and there is a small deviation of a very 0.01 degrees, very small angle, which is not even visible. Straight line is there, you are walking and you are just little bit turned and you keep walking. Where will you end? You went very away from the destination, very away from the end point. Because a small deviation can damage our whole spiritual progress. So we should be very straight on the path. No deviations allowed. Undeviated, unalloyed, transcendental devotional service. So for that we should be always under guidance, properly following the scriptures, the instructions of Guru, and the advice of Sadhu, Guru Sadhu Shastra. so that we are not deviated. Once we get deviated, to come back to the path itself is a separate journey. So our progress is halt. So such sources of inspiration, such kathas, such reading, such hearing, we should always be in touch, so that we are protected. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna. If there are any questions, we can take. Mike.
I don't know if I heard correctly or understood correctly, but it seems like I heard that in the relationship between husband and wife, that the lady can chant 8 rounds and the husband chants 16 rounds. That is, the wife is facilitating the husband's sadhana and she will get the benefit of his sadhana. What I heard from the instructions of the spiritual masters is that husband and wife cooperate so that each one of them chants 16 rounds, because the wife is taking vow to chant 16 rounds, and it's not that the husband and wife make an independent compromise on how to perform household duties. And actually I was thinking of Queen Archie. She could have stayed at home and let the husband practice the austerities, and she would still have received the full benefit. But because she was as qualified as the husband, so she could go to the forest, and even though physically she had so many shortcomings, but because she was spiritually as qualified as him, she could tolerate all the different, very severe type of austerity that the husband was performing. And the king left his body at will, and she also left her body at will. And we understand that this process happens because the Supreme Lord is helping each one. It's not that by ourselves we are leaving our bodies and reaching back to Krishna, and the wife, who is actually soul in a female form, is being equally helped. But her credit is that she performed her social duties properly, and the husband also performed his social duties properly. But finally, bhakti yoga means it's independent. Each one is independent in their endeavors to practice Krishna consciousness. At the same time, there's cooperation, because we are together as family members. Even among us, we are helping each other to progress in Krishna consciousness. This is my understanding.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was not presenting that there should be a 16 and 8 round mechanism or a compromise. Of course, both have to chant 16 rounds. I was just giving that as an example. Maybe I didn't present it properly. When wife performs her duty of serving the husband, then she gets benefit, spiritual benefit of serving a devotee husband. Like in case of Devuti, she served her husband and husband was performing meditation, and when he arose from meditation, he told her that because of your service I could very properly perform my meditation and I got lots of spiritual success. So, being pleased with your service, I am hereby offering that spiritual vision to you. So I am just emphasizing the point that a chaste lady's service to husband also gives us spiritual benefit. And what you are saying is completely correct. They are two independent living entities, and the Lord is there as Paramatma in both their hearts, seeing both their surrender, and He awards them as per their surrender. So I think it's okay. Any more questions? Mike?
The relation between daughter-in-law and mother-in-law are always strained and full of tension, even in the most cultured families. What is the reason behind such envious and notorious relationship? And secondly, men are supposed to protect women. They must be protectors. Instead, they are turning into exploiters of women in various ways. So, what things are lying behind such relationships?
See, Kali Yuga is full of quarrels. So, strained relationships, there are so many reasons. The basic reason is that if one steps on other sense gratification, then anger arises. When somebody's lust is curtailed, anger arises. And out of anger, also restraints are born. And even men, they are not trained to protect women. They are trained to exploit women. Because there is no education. Chanakya Pandit says, the best education is when a man sees everybody's wife as mother. And he sees others' gold as stone. That is education. But nowadays, in schools and colleges, this is not taught. They are not taught to see others' woman as mother. And they are not to see others' property as dust. They are ulta. They are onida. Owner's pride and neighbor's envy. Instead of seeing others' onida as dust, you see as envious object. So they are taught ulta. So because there is no education, so men are not becoming protectors, but exploiters. So this is all because of this education. All because of IIT, IIM, Mumbai University, and Mittiwai College, other colleges. All because of this education. So they are not given spiritual education. So there is the influence of Kali Yuga. Okay. Yeah, one more question here.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, when they left the bodies, material bodies, they got the spiritual bodies, you said, immediately, and they boarded the planes and started to leave for Vaikuntha. So is it the case that according to the purification achieved by the conditioned soul, either he gets the spiritual body or the body for hellish planets immediately as soon as he leaves this material body?
Yeah. In fact, as a devotee progresses, gradually spiritual body, which is already there, gets uncovered. And as soon as he leaves the material body, he gets the spiritual body. There is no waiting period. There is no launch to wait for the soul. No waiting time.
And this is a very small thing. Is there any specific reason why two separate planes came for both of them?
Two separate living entities. So two separate planes. There is no carpooling. No fuel deficiency. They are both kings. A pure devotee going back to Vaikuntha is given all the pamper, pomp, welcome. Not everybody goes every day. Very rare occasion that somebody going to Vaikuntha. So very big welcome, very big feast there. Krishna is waiting on the door. Come, come. We say, no, no. So Krishna gives a very big feast. Like that. Even Dhruva Maharaj's case, when he was going back, his mother also went, when both went in the separate planes. Right? So if your own car with the own chauffeur, that is how Krishna receives us. Okay? They can go together. There is no law like that. That's Krishna's arrangement. Maybe it depends on the destination also. Okay?
Thank you.
Take a will India, thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.